What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, December 8th, 2016. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is sitting in our control room as usual, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. A lot of stuff going on right now. The whole planet seems to be rocking and rolling today. They've had a magnitude 7.7 quake down in the Solomon Islands, and I'm sure it's wreaked havoc with those people. We briefly had a tsunami watch here in Hawaii. That has now been canceled, as well as for the Pacific Rim, I'm sure the Clinton Foundation is already heading for Solomon to take care of them the way they did those poor people down in Haiti. But there are a lot of quakes going on. Earlier today, we had a 6.5 off the coast of Northern California. They just had another one, not too big, 5.2 down in Chile. But it does make it look like the whole Pacific tectonic plate is kind of ringing with all of this seismic activity. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for more of this stuff going on here. All righty. Now then, former astronaut John Glenn has passed away. He was the last surviving Mercury astronaut. He was 95 years old, so I don't think anybody's going to say that he tragically died young. And, of course, he was very famous for being the first American to orbit the Earth. And I think it's a little unfair. Most people don't understand there was one other American who went into space before John Glenn, and that, of course, was Alan Shepard in his suborbital flight. And then, of course, John Glenn had a very long career in the U.S. Senate, which was marred by the Keating Five scandal. And he has now passed away. The heroes of our childhood are fading into memory here. Today is the anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon. And if you're my age, of course, you will remember he was very famous for his band, The Beatles. But the official story, of course, crazed lone nut with a gun. But Lennon's son is convinced that John Lennon was the victim of a government assassination. And it's not entirely unreasonable because the establishment of Lenin's day, we're almost as afraid of Lenin as our current establishment is of Donald Trump. Lenin's popularity had spread beyond his music into his philosophy, and he'd written this song, Imagine, which was a hit all over the world, and it terrified the establishment because it postulated a world free from religious domination, the need for governments, the need for conspicuous consumption. So the entire status quo was very upset over his ability to convince the younger generation not to play along with all the little things that make the elites rich and allow them to be sent off to war. So he was a major threat to the status quo with his philosophy and his popularity. Now then, getting on to the recount circus, and it really is, the Michigan recount is now officially over. A judge has ordered the suspension of the recount. There had been several different legal challenges going on back and forth, and ultimately it came down to two things. One, having gotten so few votes herself, Jill Stein was deemed not to be aggrieved and not to have standing to order a recount at Michigan taxpayer expense, and the allegations of hacking by the Russians, there was no evidence of that. The other problem is, and you're not going to see this reported on the corporate TV national news, Michigan found so many problems with the ballots and ballot boxes that basically carrying out a recount was impossible. And they were finding all these ballot boxes that still had the official seals on them, and they had the wrong number of ballots in them. Some had way too many ballots. Some had way too few. In one extreme case, all the paperwork said this box should have 306 ballots, and it only had about 50 in there. Now, Michigan law says that if there is a discrepancy, that precinct cannot be recounted. on the presumption that the discrepancy is evidence of trying to stuff the ballot box ahead of a recovery, which appears to have been going on in several places. So basically, that was the other reason that they cut that down. And interesting story coming out of Breitbart pointing out that Michigan has now spent more on Jill Stein's recount than it would have cost to provide a clean water system for the city of Flint, Michigan. But no, it's Jill Stein has to have her recount. Well, they've cut it off, and they're going to let that go. So basically, there were a total of five states involved in this recount mess. Michigan, the recount is now stopped. Their electors are still for Trump. They're still going to the Electoral College. Wisconsin's recount has not significantly changed anything at all, and they are going to finish by the deadline so that they can proceed to the Electoral College. Over in Pennsylvania, there are some discrepancies, but not enough to trigger a statewide recount. And there's a hearing in court tomorrow. The plug may be pulled on that one as well. Now, there was another recount request out in Nevada, started by another third-party candidate. Now, Nevada is a state that Hillary won, and this candidate asked for a recount to try and offset Jill Stein only wanting recounts only in states that Donald Trump won. And so far, that recount hasn't come up with anything dramatic either and will probably stop with the existing precincts being counted. Then there is finally that lawsuit by three voters down in Florida who are insisting Hillary Clinton won Florida because the Russians were hacking the election systems down there, blah, 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 blah. Now, over in Philadelphia, as the recount numbers do not work toward any success for Hillary, Jill Stein and her Green Party filed a lawsuit to inspect the election software in those electronic voting machines, which you could go over to Black Box Voting and get it here. But the election board rejected the idea. The judge agreed on that one. Part of the problem being that these private companies that set up these electronic voting machines have declared the software in them to be protected intellectual property, trade secrets, as if there's some big mystery about a piece of software that says, if this dot is penciled in, add one to this register tally over here. But that's the way the law is set on up. And even if you're looking at the source code for the software for the electronic voting machine, that doesn't guarantee that the executable actually in that electronic voting machine came from that source code. That's one of the weak areas of security. And again, getting on back out to Las Vegas, where so many of their gambling machines are now computerized as well, you would just be stunned at all the security and government oversight and how the software has to be escrowed and everything inspected. And why can't our electronic voting machines be under the same kind of scrutiny as the gambling machines out in Las Vegas? I mean, doesn't it seem absurd? They're going to be that careful with the gambling machines and so cavalier with our electronic voting machines. We're going to do a shout out to our honor affiliates who are just now rejoining our network, and we're going to go ahead and take a phone call from Steve in California. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Steve, are you there? Agreed. There you are.
Yeah, I'm here. I have to agree with you that the possibility that John Lennon was assassinated, taken out by government. But there was also something a while back I read that 20,000 pages the government had on John Lennon, especially when he came out against the Vietnam War, and he proved to have quite a following, being a peacemonger, a peacekeeper, and wanting to stop the war. Of course, they don't like that. But they had 20,000 documents on him trying to find reason to actually deport him out of the country at the time.
Yeah, they did. And if you go to my COINTELPRO page, there's actually a mention of that, about all this spying on Hollywood and the entertainers.
Last thing I got to say, I sent you an email, so check that out, on the Lord Christopher Monckton. I'm still trying to work on setting that interview up for you. He is an amazing man, and you're going to have a good interview if you have him on your show. So be looking for that information maybe later on this evening.
I look forward to it, and thank you very much for hooking us together, because it's great to have somebody who's out there who's not in the employ of Al Gore or the United Nations, pointing out how ridiculous all this stuff is. And we're going to be talking about ClimateGate in our third hour because, as probably most of you already know, and I'm getting emails from listeners all across the U.S. saying, oh, my goodness, is it cold?
Yeah.
All righty?
Hey, thank you, Michael.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you go here. Now, there is a progressive liberal public relations firm was founded by environmentalist and CNN political contributor Van Jones. They are working for these GOP electors who've come on out and say they're going to vote against Donald Trump. And apparently with the recounts failing, we're now seeing this push to just convince the Electoral College to do what's the right thing for the good of the country, probably for their wallets. And I mean, this is utterly ridiculous. And again, many states have laws compelling the electors to go with the vote in their state. Again, Donald Trump won the election by the rules everybody agreed to play by going into this campaign season. And now that it's over and Hillary and the liberals did not get the result they want, they're out there demanding the rules be changed. These little snowflakes and buttercups are out there saying, we will cry if you don't change the rules so we can win and get a participation trophy so we don't have to go into our safe rooms and play with the Play-Doh. But as a final reminder, first of all, if the Electoral College betrays America, that could trigger a civil war. I mean, I'm hearing this from so many different people saying that if Trump is kicked out of the White House and Hillary put on in, there's going to be violence in the streets. I'd like to avoid that. It's a bad thing. It's rough on the landscaping. It discourages tourism, and we'd like to avoid that here. But remember, under the Constitution, Congress has the right to overrule the Electoral College if just one senator and one representative conclude the Electoral College has not acted in good faith. And with all the stories about death threats to the Trump electors, the posting of their home contact information and phone numbers by Democrats in their states, nobody could make the case that the Electoral College did act in good faith in performance of their duty. So this thing is going to go completely crazy, and they haven't given up. Remember during the primaries and during the run-up to the general election, we were hearing how teachers in the schools were brainwashing their students that if Donald Trump was elected, the world was going to come to an end, their families would be torn apart, they'd be fed to lions or whatever else that was going to go on, which is why now that Donald Trump has actually won, all these kids who believed this nonsense from their teachers, they're freaking out and they're having to put them on prescription antidepressants and all the rest of that. Well, I got an email from somebody who listens to our show saying that, I mean, the goal of all of this during the election was brainwash the kids to be for Hillary and against Trump and hope the kids would then in turn sort of infect their parents at home with the same ideology. That was the thinking behind all of this. So I get this letter from a listener who says right now her third grader came on home and their class was discussing why it would be a good thing for the Electoral College to kick Donald Trump out and put Hillary in, in the hope that the kids will then go home and tell their parents, oh, this would be a good thing if Donald Trump was kicked out of the White House and Hillary was put on in. And in the middle of all of this, I'd like to ask a question of our educational system. In between all this liberal indoctrination and Hillary good, Donald Trump bad, global warming is real, safe spaces, what restroom do you use? Do you have any time left over to actually teach these kids useful skills like reading, writing, and mathematics? Because it doesn't seem like it. It seems like our public school system has become a full-time indoctrination center. Now, somebody did a video of the protesters who are arrayed in front of Trump Tower about Donald Trump must go, Donald Trump must go. And it was kind of funny to watch because this gentleman from InfoWars is going on down, and he's trying to talk to the protesters, and he's being kept at a distance by the private security. They actually don't want these people talked to by anybody in the media. And so the interviewer is asking him basic questions, you know, why are you opposed to Donald Trump? Well, he raped women. Really, name one. And they go, He says, are you aware all those charges have been dropped? Oh, no. We know that he raped. He's a terrible, terrible. And they're basically reading off. It's very obvious. These are paid people to be there. A rent-a-ruckus. They're out there. They've got a few lines they're supposed to shout over and over and over again. And they don't actually know anything about Trump or Hillary or anything. It's a rent-a-mob for the benefit of the corporate media. Now, as you know, Boeing is very upset with Donald Trump because Donald Trump is thinking of canceling an order for a new super flying palace, a new Air Force One built on the 747-8, the world's longest commercial passenger liner. It's a gargantuan aircraft, much bigger than the current Air Force One. And apparently Obama approved this program, and apparently he thought he was having it built for Hillary. And Hillary was saying, I need a bigger Air Force One because I'm going to be the first woman president of the United States of America. And Boeing stock took a hit on all of this. And so Boeing basically came on out and declared that Donald Trump was a liar, that the new Air Force One wasn't going to cost anywhere near $4 billion, since the cost of two of the actual aircraft is less than $1 billion to start with. But apparently somebody leaked some numbers out of Boeing to show that they're already at $2.7 billion, and they haven't actually started building the aircraft yet. So, anyway. Now, as you know, General Mattis is drawing a lot of criticism by the Trump bashers. But the reality is his background, he is a real soldier. He's been in real combat. And he's out there talking about his philosophy and thinking about war. And it's actually a good one. It's very much in line with Eisenhower, who was the last president we had that actually served in a major war. And so Mattis, he's not about glory. He's not about America's greatness. He's very cautious. And like Eisenhower, he saw combat. Like Eisenhower, he understands it's something to be avoided whenever possible. But if there is no other choice, do it efficiently, intelligently, and effectively. And that's probably why he is so much hated right now, because under our current Secretary of Defense and his predecessors, massive overspending at the Pentagon has just spiraled completely out of control. And right now, our military-industrial complex is manufacturing the most expensive weapons on Earth, and they're all very costly junk. And I'm wondering who in their right mind thinks that the U.S. is going to go up to against Russia and China in a war with all these weak and easily offended liberal young people who have never touched a gun because guns are bad, and then equip them with weapons that fall apart in the field and are too expensive to repair more than one or two times. We're not in a good position to be talking about war with anybody. Now, yesterday we reported on how Prime Minister John Key of New Zealand abruptly resigned. And there wasn't much of a public explanation given, but I think we may have figured out what it is. There was a big stink, where apparently John Key, working through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, donated millions of New Zealand taxpayer dollars to the Clinton Foundation. Apparently, at least $7.7 million pledges up to $13 million. And that may be why Key has resigned, because pretty much the media everywhere else but the United States has already come to the conclusion the Clinton Foundation is a scam, it's a money laundry, it's a slush fund. And anybody who's donating to it is immediately suspect. And ever since Hillary lost the election, all these foreign donors have just shut off that tap. The money is not pouring in the way it was before, which right there demonstrates it was never about charity, it was about buying influence of the potential president of the United States of America. So we're coming up here on a commercial break. We're going to stop for a few words, and then we'll be right back with news about the fake news. That's us. Whee! We'll be right back.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
If you have sciatica, then you know all about the crippling pain that travels from your lower back down your leg when a spasm occurs. It's brutal. In fact, it's enough to take your breath away. Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream helps relieve persistent, shooting pains associated with the sciatic nerve in the lower back and legs. This natural, homeopathic cream contains the most potent ingredients to soothe even the most excruciating pain associated with sciatica. Stop the pain now. Ask for Dr. Zhang's sciatica nerve cream at your local health food store or go online to TraskNutrition.com.
Would you like relief from muscle pain, headaches, and discomfort to sleep better, have more energy during the day, and just feel naturally amazing? Fibromalic can help. Its blend of malic acid and magnesium can provide pain relief and comfort for those who experience fibromyalgia. It helps your body absorb more oxygen, and it works quickly for a significant reduction in pain within 48 hours, all without a prescription. Ask for Fibromalic at health and vitamin shops or shop Fibromalic.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And before we get into the fake news, a listener wrote in to remind me that after Alan Shepard's suborbital Mercury flight and before John Glenn's orbital flight, Gus Grissom also did a suborbital flight as well. So, in fact, I that may have been the one where he lost the capsule. I'm not sure. But... yeah, I mean, of course, we're talking about 1961, and I am getting old and everything. But, yeah, John Glenn was actually the third American into space. And it's kind of weird how everybody says he's the first one. They even made fun of it in Tom Hanks' From the Earth to the Moon miniseries on HBO, which, by the way, I loved. Bought the DVD set for the thing. And they were doing an episode on Alan Shepard, who, after his one very brief suborbital flight, came down with an ear problem that took him off flight status. And he stayed with the program, stayed with the astronaut management, and eventually surgery was developed to cure his ear problem, and he got to take one of the last Apollo flights to the moon. And they have this scene where Alan Shepard is on the table in the operating room, and the doctor is telling the nurse, you know, that isn't that guy's real name. you know, this is America's first man in space. And the nurse looks at him and says, oh, I'd know John Glenn if I saw him. So anyway, those were the days. Now let's talk about the real news versus the fake news. The Washington Post has now commented, updated their Russian propaganda story and kind of sort of maybe thinks it could possibly have been fake. And that's as close as we're going to get to the Washington Post retracting the story, let alone apologize. And I went back over to that propernot.com. They've updated their report trying to justify the list. And as it turns out, the list of websites denounced as Russian propaganda agents was built simply from anybody who linked to Russia Today. That's it. That's it. We link to stories in Russia Today. We must be Russian stooges. I link to stories in the New York Times. Doesn't make me an American agent. I link to stories from the BBC all the time. Doesn't make me James Bond 007, licensed to link. That's it. That's the entire basis of the story. Well, the Pope has now weighed on in with this media and has basically said spreading fake news and smearing politicians is now a sin. It's a sin. Spreading disinformation is the greatest damage the media can do. So, the corporate media are not only going to be going bankrupt, they're all going to the dark regions where the devils will poke them with pitchforks, or at least make them spell check all their old articles. Now then, in the meantime, of course, over in the real news, the corporate media, the New York Times and the Washington Post are still pushing the fake news to justify U.S. wars of aggression in other countries. And you go back, and obviously the classic example nobody can argue about, the claim that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which led to that invasion of Iraq and thousands of people being killed and crippled and tortured to death in some cases. And they're still not apologizing for that one. Saddam hid his weapons of mass destruction. That's why we couldn't find them. He sent them to Syria. He sent them to Monaco. He sent them down to Australia. I mean, just constantly, you know, the corporate media is like the government. If at first you don't succeed, lie again. And that's what they do. Now, this whole attempt to demonize the independent media is getting into a very dangerous area. As you know, there was this obviously contrived shooting incident at the pizza parlor that was at the heart of the Pizzagate hoax, which led to a flood of corporate media articles saying, well, you know, the independent media is fomenting violence. More about this when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm looking on Fox News, and they're still going on about John Glenn. Like there's nothing else happening in the world today. No war in Syria that we're losing. No massive election fraud in Michigan. It's all John Glenn all the time. And I did go back and confirm that, yes, Gus Grissom's suborbital flight that preceded John Glenn was the one where the capsule was lost, Liberty Bell 7. For those of you living in and around Kansas, the Liberty Bell 7 was recovered from the floor of the ocean and has been restored and is, I believe, on display now at the Kansas City Cosmodrome or the space museum that they have there. So anyway, getting on back to the news here. As I mentioned, there is apparently a plan to try and create the image that independent media is leading to violence. And it began with this contrived shooting at this pizza parlor. Didn't get a lot of traction. Now they have another one. And this is where apparently down in Tampa, Florida, there's a 57-year-old woman who basically is out there. She was threatening to kill the parent of a victim in the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre because she's been convinced by those evil independent media that there may have been a hoax regarding that. And this is already starting to look like a pattern. We're probably going to see more of these, where they're going to try and come up with any kind of case where, see, those independent media, they're causing people to become violent, therefore we should shut them down. Well, look at the media's, corporate media's reporting of Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, and how they were saying, there's going to be riots, and how they fanned up the racial tensions in places like Baltimore. The corporate media has caused a lot of violence, including all these wars started with lies. Nobody talks about shutting them down. Now, as you know, there's a new Star Wars movie out called Rogue One, and it's already drawing a lot of criticism. And partly it's because apparently Star Wars Rogue One, the producers and actors behind it, are launching a protest against Donald Trump. And this is coming on top of criticism about how the Rogue One storyline appears to be a very liberal, you know, the multicultural and strong women are going to defeat the white supremacist galactic empire. And people don't go to the movies to be propagandized or lectured to. And we've all had the liberal stuff up to here at this point. It's burned out. And I'm not planning on seeing this movie, even though I'm a huge fan of the original Star Wars. And Claire and I were at a local toy store yesterday getting some last-minute Christmas gifts. And all of the Star Wars Rogue One toys are just piled up right by the entrance. You can't avoid seeing them walking on in. They're all over the place. You know, the new updated version of the Stormtrooper's helmet. You know, it's $99. I mean, come on, guys. Anyway, huge. These monolithic piles of all these toys. Nobody was even stopping. Nobody's buying. It's just they burned out on this whole thing. Over at Breitbart, they're now under attack. The Washington Post smear notwithstanding this attempt to demonize independent media as inciting violence in the population. There's an economic war out against the independent media. We've already heard where Google is now shutting off ad revenues for their customers. Same thing with YouTube. They're ending the advertising and sharing of revenues on videos and sites that don't conform with the liberal ideology. And apparently 78 companies have now blacklisted Breitbart News, trying to basically shut them down for daring to stand up and say Donald Trump did win this election by the rules everybody agreed to play with. And screaming about popular vote. And again, we don't really know what Hillary's popular vote was until we subtract out all the non-citizens who voted, at least 3 million. All the duplicate votes they found up in Michigan and Wisconsin, I might add. We don't really know. But that's their talking point. She won the popular vote. She should be the president. The presidential elections are not a popular vote. And remember during that Democratic primary when Bernie Sanders kept winning the popular vote, and somehow Hillary still got the delegates. You didn't see Hillary stand up and say, well, you know, the people obviously prefer Bernie Sanders, so I'm going to give him a couple of my delegates. Did you ever see her do that? No, when it was working in her favor, she was perfectly happy with it. So she's being a hypocrite. And I actually had somebody write in and say, well, you know, we're obviously not going to be doing business, you know, with these companies that are attacking the independent media, and that's a very good thing to do. And also, of course, as ad revenues dry up, citizen support of these independent media outlets becomes more important than ever before. Now, fortunately, Google never allowed me to have ad revenues, and neither did YouTube. So I'm relatively unaffected by the current campaign. I'm very, very happy to see. But as James Corbett is saying, the war is on. The war between the establishment that has built itself with lies, fraud, and deception, and the American people who are standing up and demanding the facts about what's been going on in their country. What has the government really been doing with their money and their children's lives? And there's a real rush going on here, because as it looks more and more like Hillary's attempt to derail the Electoral College has fizzled, people are turning to Donald Trump and saying that he will support the independent media. And he probably will, because the corporate media was his enemy from day one. Somebody actually put up this wonderful triptych from Time magazine from back in, I think it was March, and it's a caricature of Trump, and it's starting to melt. And then in October, the same image, but now flat on the ground like a puddle, total meltdown. And then, of course, followed up by the fact that Time had to name Donald Trump Man of the Year. So Trump knows the corporate media was never his friend. They're still adversarial because he read them the Riot Act. And Trump is going directly to the people with his Twitter channel, his YouTube channel, probably the Trump media company that his son-in-law is getting ready to set up. They're going to bypass the old fossil dinosaur corporate media. Donald Trump did an interview with Alex Jones, thanked Alex Jones for his support. The writing is on the wall. If they can't shut down the independent media before January 20th, 2017 will be the year of the independent media. And I'm not the only person who's saying that. Paul Craig Roberts is out with another article saying the tide is turning against the oligarchs. They've had the American people snookered for much of a century now, between lying corporate media, private central banking, and now the American people have awakened, and they're not going to go back to sleep anytime soon. Hopefully, this is going to be a peaceful, bloodless revolution, but revolution is at hand, and you might as well get used to that idea. Now then, getting on down to the war zones, with Assad on the verge of absolute victory against the U.S. attempt to oust him, the Syrian rebels have requested another ceasefire. We want a pause so we can do whatever we're going to do, which includes the U.S. still trying to extract its spies, CIA spies and special forces and mercenaries that are still inside Aleppo and are going to be hugely embarrassing to the U.S. when Russia or Syria captures them and puts them on world view. But the response from the Syrian government has been very, very curt. It's too late. You should have taken advantage of the offered amnesty program at the time it was offered. And now there's no point in us having a ceasefire. We're on the verge of victory. Now, Assad has come out with a statement, and it's very telling, and it proves that he is very well aware of what the real agenda has been all along. And he's saying the failure of the Western states and Turkey in Aleppo means the entire grand project, the transformation of the Middle East, the capture of all the resource-rich areas and shackling to the dollar, that has failed as well. Because remember, Wesley Clark blew the whistle on this thing back in, I think it was 2005, where the U.S. was going to regime change or conquer all the oil nations of the Middle East and shackle them to the U.S. dollar to maintain the U.S. dollar's hegemonic domination of world trade and banking. And the U.S. is about to lose in Syria, has lost in Syria, our first major defeat since Vietnam. And we never really did get into Iran, did we? So it is starting to come apart. Now, Turkey, perhaps I should call them Wild Turkey in honor of that particular alcoholic beverage my grandfather used to share with Richard Nixon. Apparently, a Turkish deputy, Binali Yildirim, is out there demanding that 18 Greek islands in the Aegean Sea actually belong to Turkey. And he's now out there saying, I'm going to raise the flag of Turkey on these 18 islands. And that is going to cause yet more consternation. I wish these people would like sit down and say, you know, I'm getting tired of this war as much as the ordinary people here. Meanwhile, the U.S. Navy has announced that in order to get around the Montrose Convention, limiting how long they can be in the Black Sea, they're now going to start additional Black Sea patrols on a rotating basis. So those ships that have reached the end of the legally allowed time in the Black Sea, as they're sailing out, more U.S. ships are going to sail into the Black Sea. This would be like Russia sailing into the Gulf of Mexico, to understand the importance of this. And all the U.S. or one of their allies needs to do is sneak a small submarine in through the Bosphorus, sink a U.S. ship, blame it on Russia, and we're off and running to the hot war that everybody wants to get going before Trump can take office. We're going to grab a phone call here. Tim in Wyoming, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. We were talking yesterday about, or you were actually, about Android phone security. You said your wife has an Android and you have major problems with it. Now, I wanted to bring up something that most people don't pay much attention to when it comes to Android phones, when it comes to the security of the phones. There are a lot of permissions that the applications will ask for. And a lot of things that they ask for, I mean, I read every single thing all the permissions that they ask for. When it says that it wants to use your storage, it wants to use your microphone, your camera, your location, your data, whatever it happens to be. And I generally, well, not generally, almost always, probably 90 plus percent of the time, will either send an email to the company and ask them why. I usually get a reply, but I'll ask them why they need these particular things or think that they need these particular things, and then they'll sometimes give me an answer. But when a phone does things that you don't want it to do, I mean, that's the main thing you have to look at is the permissions that the application supposedly needs. And they say, when it comes to Android, when it comes to the Google Play Store, if you will, they say that sometimes the applications will have other requests for permissions that will be added at a later date. And it doesn't tell you what those will be. It could be anything.
Let me step in here for a little bit. First of all, the problems with the Android that Claire is using aren't related to security because neither of us keeps any kind of confidential information on our smartphones. There's no bank account information. There's no passwords. We're just using them as phones and cameras, basically. I have since found out that one of the problems with Android, at least as it's implemented by Samsung, is that it automatically is constantly preloading apps into memory. So that if you click the icon, they're going to pop up a lot more quickly, and you think the phone is really hip and performing very, very well. The problem is these are applications my wife never uses, and there doesn't seem to be any way to turn off the preload. But beyond that is a larger issue, and I'm giving my age away here. But I was born at a time where you went to a store and you traded your money and you bought something, a phone, a TV, a radio, whatever. You brought it in, you plugged it in, you turned it on, and it did things for you. And for some reason, right, our younger generation has been brainwashed or acclimated to accept products that require constant tinkering, patching, update, upgrade. We're spending more time working on our appliances than they spend working for us in many cases. One example that really annoys the heck out of me is our big screen TV, because we'll be watching a movie or a TV show, and right at the part where we're going to find out what's really been going on here, there'll be this pop-up in the middle of the screen. The Smart Hub has finished its update. Do you want to start it now? And that is so annoying. Again, it's something that people seem to have gotten used to. But you need to look back and realize there was a time when your appliances worked for you and not the other way around. And we need to get back to that, because all of this tinkering and patching and update and upgrade and everything takes time away from more productive pursuits. We're spending more time working on our computers than getting work out of the computers that we can use to earn a living with.
Right, right. Well, you're talking about the Smart Hub on your smart television, so-called smart, I say, on your television. And they, I mean, when it's, when they're constantly, I mean, as soon as you hook the phone, the television, the phone, the cable box, the Wii, the PlayStation, whatever it happens to be, a new PlayStation rather, whenever you hook one of those things up, I think they use a Wi-Fi. They hook to, if you have Wi-Fi at all, they automatically access your Wi-Fi. And so they're automatically hooked to the internet somehow. And you don't know how, you know, what to do about that. Otherwise, they don't work, supposedly.
And well, yeah, but in our case, we have to have the Smart Hub because we have that Amazon Prime subscription so that we can watch Grand Tour. Nothing automatically hooks to Wi-Fi in our home because of the way our security is set up. We have to basically specifically allow any Wi-Fi device to access our router. We actually have two routers. We have a guest router that hits the outside net but doesn't go inside our firewall. And then we have our main Wi-Fi, which is really very much locked down. So we have to have that on. But why do they need to pop that up in the middle of a show? And like I said, we need to get back to a mindset where our products work for us and not the other way around. Got to let you go here, Tim. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, "I think we're in remission." I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're going to go to another phone call. Janet in Kansas. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello.
You're on the air.
I want to ask you a couple of questions. Yes. Hello. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, about Syria. You know, towards the end of the were caught in a cauldron and they were being annihilated and
Janet, you're going to have to go back and start that sentence again because we had a momentary interruption where you dropped out and I lost you until cauldron. So could you start that over again?
All right. Towards the end of the battle in Aleppo, the number of those rebels affiliated, some of them with the CIA, trained and supplied and funded by the CIA, some of them by other Western entities, who knows, that they were in a cauldron and being annihilated and were fighting amongst themselves. And they were not given, I mean, Russia had already told them, if you harm any of our people, with a colonel and a whomever, it's over. You know, we'll
Janet, I'm sorry, your phone Janet, listen to me. Your phone keeps cutting on out. So what I'm going to do is ask you to hang up and try and call back in because there's something going on where we keep losing you, okay?
Huh. Okay. I will do that. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's switch over to Francis in North Carolina. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Aloha to you. Hopefully
aloha.
You're staying
warmer.
Indeed.
I'm sorry. What's going on?
Well, when you were talking about the electronic toys and how they're behaving, and when you're watching a show on the I call it the boob tube for that matter.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a tube anymore, so, you know.
Well, I just realized that it's basically playing psychological warfare with you. And that being that right at the crescendo of a show, when you're actually right there at that moment of a steak being dangled in front of your nose, and you're about to take a bite of it with whatever's going on to the climax of the show, and all of a sudden this thing pops up and says, this is ready to go for you. It's like being dangled a steak in front of your nose to bite on, and all of a sudden you end up getting hit with a chicken nugget instead.
Well, it's an interesting theory, but, you know, I mean, the pop-up just seems to happen at random times, but it's just, it's very annoying. You know, like, you know, they should have it do it at first power up of the TV before you get into a show. But there's just a general thing where, again, you're having to work more and more to keep whatever products you're buying going. And outside of my office here and outside of our big screen TV, my personal lifestyle, I'm pushing it in low tech. I don't have the big computerized coffee maker anymore. I've got just a manual press. And, you know, I'm getting rid of all of that stuff. It really is kind of crazy. Francis, we're going to have to let you go. We got to do a station break. And we'll be right back.
Your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.